It's so amazing whenever the Spirit of God is in our midst, things get confirmed. Of course, that scripture, whatever you're saying today, is in the message. So I always love knowing when that happens, I can just go. I'm in the wake of what God and His Spirit is already doing. And I trust that God has a word for you. I send greetings from my family, from my Every Nation family. I'm part of the Every Nation church family worldwide. And I always tell people that Shofar and Every Nation are very, very close cousins. I just love this family. And from our family, I lead a church in Pretoria, Every Nation Church there. And we bless you. We bless you because I know you bless the nations and you're after missions and you're after discipleship and you're after raising new children like I do as well. And I just love this family. So I just bless you and send all my greetings from our home church as well in that. I want to take you to the book of Numbers. You must open up your Bible, your app, or whatever you use in Namibia. Just quickly say, I was born in Windhoek. For those who don't know it, this is my hometown. I love this place, and I've got such a big affinity and a passion for what God is doing in this nation. And did yesterday in this amazing conference that these guys put up. I'm going to take you to the book of Numbers 13 to 14. We're going to read a bunch of scriptures. Not everything is going to be on there. Some of the scriptures you will see on there. But this is now, of course, Israel coming out of Egypt, out of bondage, and God is promising them a promised land. And all of us want to say amen to any promised land. Now, I've learned in my life to get from the bondage, the place of Egypt, into the promised land, there is a desert necessary. There is a wilderness. Some of us are like, but why can't we just beam me up, Scotty, in Star Trek, and God just put us into this promised land? If you take somebody who was lost, this may be your story, you were in deep sin, in deep addiction, and many times, not always, but many times when you need to go from bondage into freedom or into the promised land, there is a time of letting go of the past, going and passing through the wilderness, and the biggest challenge in the wilderness is God is testing if you would trust Him. To be dependent on God, to be your only source. That's what Israel went through. So they were supposed to only be 11 days, of course, in the desert, but then they stuck for 40 years because of what I'm going to read right now. And I want to call us not to remain in the desert for too long, but if you're passing through a desert, don't misuse it, don't miss it. God is teaching you something. And even as maybe a church, and I know I just quickly spoke to Pastor Philip last night, just where you are at and this whole Joshua thing. And this was the word confirmed, and I want to share on this. So let's jump into Numbers 13 to 14. Now, they're in this desert moment, and God is sending through Moses a bunch of spies. Now, I like spy movies. I like Mission Impossible and 007 and all these Bond movies, so I like spies. And these were the first spies. The Lord said to Moses, 13 verse 1, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. Anybody uncertain what God promised there? So he says, I'm going to send you, go and explore it, but I already make the promise, I'm going to give it to you. Then stop, that's the reality. Then from each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So the Lord commanded Moses, sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. Very important. 12 leaders, the top of the top. The A students, the A leaders. 12 leaders went. And we'll see in a bit. 2 of them led and 10 unled. You can be the greatest leader, but you can unlead. And then they go out. I'm not going to read all of their names. Spare you that. And then he said, verse 70, when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are stronger or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So he's sending them with a mission. Go and check out everything. Go and scout the people, the land, the soil. Give us a report. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob towards Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing the single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. And that place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of the grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. So 40 days in the land, saw these beautiful grapes, and we'll get to that in a moment. And then verse 26, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But, yeah, I hate the word but whenever it's in the Bible. But the Bible who live, no, but the people who live there are powerful. And the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people, giving a report. The ten are giving the report of, look at this beautiful fruit, it's awesome, it's a great country, but there are giants, and that's where the word Anak comes from. They were the descendants of Anak, giants, big people, not like me, a lot bigger, all right, like really giants. But then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Remember that movie Waterboy? There was always a guy in the back shouting, you can do it, you can. No, this is it. We can do it. But the men who had gone up with them said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. There's like really big giants. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. You see, many times when you think you are nothing, other people think that as well. When you shrink back, other people will also let you shrink back. And that night, the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. Man, this was like a pity party. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us into this land only to get us fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? You see, always when you're in the wilderness, you long back for the bondage and you forget that you were actually a slave there. But you need to push through. I just sense some of you are in that wilderness in your own life where you did in the past, you were in bondage. And now it's kind of tough to get into the promised land. And God just says, in the infamous words of Dory in Finding Nemo, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. Just put one foot before the other one. Just stick in family, stick in discipleship. You will get there. How long will these people treat me, verse 11, as the Lord said to Moses, with contempt? Sorry, no. Let's go back. Oh, getting off trail. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those, verse 6, who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israel assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Remember, He promised it. So they're just standing on the promise. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. I love that. Devour them. Not just beat them, devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But then again, the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me? Not have faith. And in spite of all the signs I've performed among them, I will strike them down. And then the Lord is pleading with them and all of that. And then verse 20, You can go to there. After there was some wrath being poured out, the Lord said, I've forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to your ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit. Everybody say different spirit. Different spirit. And follows me wholeheartedly. I will bring him into the land he went to. And his descendants will inherit it. All right. Oh, long passage. A lot to be said. Verse 24. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to. And his descendants will inherit it. I want to speak to you about having a different spirit. And here's the question. What do you see? Do you see grapes or do you see giants? What do you see? I believe as a nation, but also as an individual and even as a church, you got a decision to make. What do you see? Will you be one of the 10? Or will you be those 2 who says, okay, yes, we do see the giants, but we also see the grapes. And he had a different spirit. He followed him wholeheartedly. And there was an unshakable faith in this man, Caleb. And as we just worship, I just sense the Holy Spirit asked me, so what was different about his spirit? The fact that it says he had a different spirit says there was something else also going on. People with a different spirit. So there was a spirit of what? A spirit of fear. Of unbelief, a spirit of discouragement, a spirit of moaning. And then there was this different spirit, a spirit of faith, a spirit of conquering. But they all saw the same thing. They saw 2 things. They saw the grapes, they saw the fruit, they saw the promise. And they all, of course, heard the promise of God in the beginning. Like many people in church, we hear the word of God, we hear what he says. And then we go out, we go into life, we go into reality, and we all see the giants. This happens. Yeah. We all see the giants. You know, sometimes people look at me or pastors, they're like, can't you see the realities in our country? Can't you see what's happening? No, we can. We just choose to have a different spirit. Aren't you reading the same newspapers or watching the same CNN as us? Yes, we do. We're just choosing to see something else. Because I can either see the grapes or you can see the giants. It depends on how you look at it. Different spirit. Seeing different. Having faith. No fear. I loved it when Caleb said, he just silenced these people. The whole assembly said, shush. I think he used the stronger word. Stop it. You see, if you trace the whole story of Israel, what came out of their mouths, you know when you mumble, when you grumble, when you moan? In Afrikaans, it's the word kla. And that word is, when you take it back to the root, is the same word as accusing somebody. You're accusing. They literally accused God of not being God and not keeping his promise. And then, of course, they start wailing. And that was the whole pattern through the whole wilderness. You see, what comes out of our mouths reveals if we have a different spirit or not. What is coming out of your mouth? What are you speaking? Are you speaking faith? Are you speaking grapes? Or are you speaking giants? Now, I'm not one to say don't or deny reality. I'm like, friends, I'm coming from South Africa. I'm flying back now. It's chaos in our country after what President Zuma did last week. There's a spiritual battle raging in our country. But I can, with everybody else, choose to just look at the giants. Or we can say, no, no, no. We see it, but God said. God promised. That's a different spirit. Now, I want you to, for a moment, think you're a little young boy in the company of Israel when these spies came back. And artistic impressions try and give us a picture like this of maybe how these grapes look like. Imagine. You came back and these guys were carrying clusters of grapes. It's so huge that two men needed to carry it. I actually love the next picture more. This is like, woo, look at this. I think it took a day to eat maybe one grape by itself. Just think about the wonder. You're like this. There's this boy looking and saying, well, that's it. And it came from a valley called Eshkol. And I'll get back to that. And Eshkol, that valley was near the mountainside. You heard the word mountain. And then you heard the word Hebron a lot. I'll show you what's the significance of that. Now, here's the thing. Many of us, as we're passing, getting out of Egypt, passing through the wilderness, and God is promising you a promised land for your own life, for your future, for your descendants. When God's promising it for this church, for this community, and for this nation, sometimes we can almost taste the grapes. And you're like, something stirs inside of you. You're like, God, I want that. I want that. But the moment when that grape is right in front of you, the shadow of the giant falls over it. And you're like, I can't have it. For many years in my life, I was single for a long time. I only got married when I was 34, 35 years old. And which of the two was it? I think it was 35. It was a massive insecurity in my life. But there were giants keeping me away from that promise. Giants of independence, of perfectionism. I'm going to be quite brutally honest, also throw into that mix, I had a massive issue for a long time in my life with the sin of pornography. It twisted my whole idea, my whole thinking of what a woman should look like and what her role is. And these were giants keeping me away from the inheritance that God had for me. And when I look at this next photo of when that eventually happened, it was a fulfillment, one of the promise of God, but there were a bunch of giants that had to be slain to get to there. And now the amazing thing is this little weasel right there in the next picture, he's a result of that. His name is Vaynant, that's my son, he's 11 months old. And there's another picture of him, I mean you can't see it, but he's just a bunch of joy. But that was the grapes that I saw in the future. But for many years, the shadows of the giants just tried to diminish the word of God. But by the grace of God, I could fight the battle. And every giant that I've slain by the grace of God has been for this little bugger as well. Because every time we win a battle, we slay a sin in our lives. Whether it be an addiction or something in my life like I had for pornography for a long time. And you get through that thing, it's for the sake of those coming in our wake. You're not just fighting the battle for yourself, and I'll tell you why in a moment. Because there's a personal inheritance, and that for me is a picture of my personal inheritance. The amazing thing is, God did fulfill all His promises. If you go to the book of Joshua 21, you can read with me, verse 43. Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that He swore to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it, and they settled there. Isn't it amazing? He kept His word. No matter the giants, no matter whatever the other 10 saw and then spread that word, God was faithful. Friends, God is still faithful. His word is still the same. It's amazing. You can be part of the fulfillment or not. That's your choice. It's as if He says, I'm going to do it. Do you want to join me? It depends on what you see. Verse 44, and the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as He had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Can I just get an hallelujah and an amen to that? This is the God that we serve. There's no word, nothing that is said, no promise over your church, over your life, over the city, over this nation, that will not be fulfilled, because He's a God that keeps his word. Even 1 John 5, now New Testament, says the following. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What was the different spirit that Caleb had more than anything else? He saw something else, and seeing is, no, not believing. You see, that's not scriptural. Hebrews 11 verse says, see, faith is what we do not see. Hope of what is not yet there. You see, faith is the different spirit. This is the thing that's different between the Caleb and the Joshua and all the other spies. And some of us sitting here, you can choose whichever you want. Verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world except you, the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Why did God break out in wrath over his people? As I read, because they refused to believe me after all the signs and wonders I did. Faith. Believing God. I believe God is looking for men and women who would dare to believe him and have faith. So what then happened to Caleb? Remember, he said, we can do it. If you fast forward the story in Joshua 14, verse 16 to 15, I'm going to read this to you. This is amazing. Now, just picture, here is old Caleb. He's over 80 years old. He's coming in there with his kitty. And he's ready. Because God said, God promised. And now they're in the promised land. Verse 6 of chapter 14 in Joshua. I don't know. I don't think it's on there, but you can go and read it or read it with me now. Now, the people of Judah approached Joshua. Now, Joshua is the leader at Gilgal. And Caleb said to him, I just see these two war veterans coming close to each other. He's like, come on, buddy. He says, you know that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. Like, he said something about us. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. I brought him back a report. What was his report? A good report. A faith report. According to his convictions. We need to live from deep convictions that God said it. I saw the grapes in the valley of Eshkol. I saw the promise. And no matter what, I don't care how big the giants are, the conviction says we can do this. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Remember, he had a different spirit, wholeheartedly having faith. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked, which he saw as he explored as a spy, will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. That's a different spirit. And he promised. And now, he says, now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites, that the giants, were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Can you hear the boldness? Can you hear that same different faith, different spirit in him? Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron and his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly, four times, wholeheartedly, and he eventually took this promise. And then the land had rest from war. And just one chapter on, 15 verse 13, in accordance with the Lord's command to him, Joshua gave to Caleb a portion of Judah, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron. Arba was the forefather of Anak. So the place Kiriath Arba means the city of Arba. And he was the forefather of the Anakites, of the giants. I'll tell you now why that is just amazing. From Hebron, Caleb drove out the three Anakites, the sons of Anak. From there he marched against the people. And Caleb said, I will give my daughter Aksa in marriage to the man who attacks and captures that place. And then Othniel took it. So Caleb gave his daughter to him in marriage. Now, here is the amazing thing. The place that he eventually got was exactly that valley of Eshkol with the mountainside that God had promised. But here's the amazing thing. That town called Kiryat Arba and the town of Hebron, same place, that was the same place Machpelah graves, the trees of Mamre, maybe you've heard of this. That's where Abram, the forefathers of Caleb and Joshua, that's where they lived and that's where they were buried. Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Abraham. But the giants took that. And now he took it back. In our lives, God has started a promise to your ancestors maybe many years ago. And somewhere along the line, the giants of intimidation, of depression, of fear, of sexual sin, of whatever might have taken your inheritance, the place that you are supposed to live in, the spiritual inheritance, maybe it was your father, maybe it was your grandfather, maybe the people gone before you have messed up and not served the Lord wholeheartedly. But today, you can, with a different spirit, say, Lord, I'm taking back what the enemy has stolen. I don't care what they chose and how many giants came across, but Lord, you promised. And I'm taking that back. You see, that's the amazing thing, that the bloodline can change. The curses can be reversed in Christ. Now let's just for a moment see the amazing thing that in Joshua 15, he didn't just go by himself. Caleb said, I'm going to take somebody with. Whoever is coming with me, a young man, he's calling out a young man. He's calling out a disciple. And I know this church loves discipleship. He's calling out somebody to help him slay these giants. And eventually that son was Othniel, who became the first judge of Israel. And he actually married his daughter. You see, whenever we slay the giants, it's not just for us. It's for those coming behind us. So we reverse what has happened in the past, maybe with our ancestors. We take back the ground from the enemy, from the giants, but then we also take those along that can share in the plunder, that can share in the victory. Now this story has got one last twist that is amazing. Fast forward 400 years, and there enters the most famous giant slayer called David. And now David fights the last descendant of the Anakites. His name was Goliath. And with all these Israelites being fearful, having that other spirit, here little David comes in. He's heard the stories. He knows the heritage of a Caleb many years ago. And he says, listen, if he could take on not just one giant, but all the giants, what is this giant? Who is this Goliath that defies the armies of God? And he comes in and he just wastes him. We know the story. And guess where he was crowned king and where he reigned for 7 years? Hebron, Kiryat Arba, Valley of Eshkol, same place. You see, God is a God of generations. And the battles we fight now, the promised land that we take in right now, is not just for us, it's for those coming behind us. And it's amazing how Abram, the man of faith, was in that same place. And then Caleb, a man of faith with a different spirit. And then David, a man of faith with the same spirit. But then, the ultimate giant slayer steps into the story. And that was 2,000 years ago. Christ Jesus, our victorious King, the giant slayer. And he steps into the story with a different spirit. One who more than any other man wholeheartedly served God and had faith to change not just the course of that history in that time, but our history right here and right now. And that's why 1 John 5 says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. And who can overcome the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Friends, we live in the fruit and in the wake, not just of a Caleb and a David, but of Christ. I don't know what giant you're facing at this moment. It might be the giant of fear. It might be the giant of unemployment. It might be the giant of depression. I had depression for almost 10 years in my life. God set me free. He can that do the same for you. I don't know what giant is in your life at this point. But through Christ, you can have a different spirit. And it's amazing. He pours His Spirit into us. And that's a spirit of faith. It's a spirit of overcoming. Because of the giant slayer Christ that made the way for us. You can see the grapes or you can see the giants. And God is calling you and me right now today to say, Lord, we can take back the land. We can take our inheritance, whatever you promised. And I know the battle is fierce. I'm not trying to paint a picture here in the sky. It was a battle for me to get through depression. It was a battle for me to get over that sin of pornography. It was a battle. But man, the victory on the other side is so sweet. And listen, God never says we need to cope with sin. This scripture says, overcome. You can have victory. Do not settle for anything less. Maybe your family or culture or your people around you say, well, just cope with this sin. No. Have a different spirit. We can take this land. We can take the promise because God said so and He is faithful. I want to pray for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this moment in time. Well, thank you that your promises are yes and amen. Lord, I just want to pray for people right here, right now, whose lives maybe feel just in tatters and many walking under the burden of previous ancestors, a father, a mother, or uncles and aunts that did not slay the giants, but actually gave it over, gave up their land, gave up their inheritance. Lord, in Christ, we want to take that back right now. In Christ, we want to say no more. And I just feel in this moment, if that is you specifically, out of your past, that inheritance has been forfeited, and there are giants in your life because of your past. Just sense a moment, God wants to break that and slay that giant. If that's you, would you just stand up where you are? I want to pray with you. Thank you. Jesus said He took every curse on Him on the cross. He's a God of generations. But the same generation, God knows exactly what happened there, where the door was opened. But today, you can close that door. Right now. Maybe you need to repent of the sins of your fathers and your mothers. Right there where you're standing. Just call that thing. Call it what it is. Whether it be a sin or oppression, whether it be a stronghold in your family, just right now in the name of Jesus, repent of it over your own lips. Just say it right there. You know what it is? So I break it in the name of Jesus. Just say those words. I break it in the name of Jesus. Jesus, come and slay this giant on my behalf. Right now. Lord, cancel the curse. Because of your cross, because of your blood, right now. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Setting people free, turning the page right now. something in the spirit just breaking right now. Thank you for that, Lord. As you remain standing, maybe it's not for you the sin of your forefathers, but there's a giant that you're facing in your life right now. And you want a different spirit, a spirit of faith, not fear anymore. You just want to answer and say, Lord, you've promised a better future. This thing will not be my master anymore. I will not be its slave anymore. This giant will fall before your blood, before your sovereignty, before your grace. If that's you, would you stand up? I want to pray with you. With that giant right now. Every giant, you will reveal yourself right now. You won't hide away. No pride. Nothing in this place. Just humility and brokenness. I want you to lift up your hands and cry out for the Lord to fight your battle right now. Jesus did slay this giant 2,000 years ago on the cross. You just take it by faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? He who has faith, he who believes in the Son of God. Right now, just saying, Lord, I speak death over this giant. Cut it off in Jesus' name, Lord. Cut off its power, let it literally wither away. Lord, show me the root. If there's a root, he will show it to you right now. Repent of that. Say, Lord, I'm turning my back on this. I'm choosing to see the grapes, your promised land, right now. Thank you, Lord, for breakthrough upon breakthrough in this moment.